like that, but it looks like there's hardly any room, doesn't it? And actually, that's a pretty wide area, and it's going all the way to the ceiling. Okay, next picture. Then in the octagon, we have the fireplace being built in there. That's going to be a really nice atmosphere inside there with a little fireplace. The next picture. This is in the back of the octagon where the sound system is, and I want to show you what we're doing. This is really kind of a neat concept. All these lines are coming down into a box, and it's going to be a quick disconnect box. And so you can quickly disconnect the sound system, put it together. It's going to be on rollers, close the lid, and roll it out to the outside behind those windows there. There's going to be a plaza. And then we set it back up, plug it back in the wall on the outside of the church and have a concert outside in some of our services. Yeah. So that will be really fun. Yeah. And so that's going in right now. And then the next one. Okay. And I'm going to have Clyde come up here. In a second, this is our fire plug right here off our property, and you see our building in the distance. Monday, we're going to begin two things. The water and the leach field are going to start going in. Isn't that great? And so when the water gets to the building, that's in, and we're able to charge our fire extinguishers all through our sprinkler system, then at that point, we can start calling for inspections on everything, and it's going to be a downhill slide on that. So these are exciting days, exciting days. Okay, next one. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, next slide.
Were you going to mention the giving?
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm going to have Clyde talk about this.
That was last month. You know, what I wanted to say here was that it's an amazing thing when you think about it. I mean, $30,000 in a month. I mean, faith is a big thing in my life, and I know it is in your life, because really when you think about it, in Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must first come and believe who He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And this whole thing from start until we get done is all about faith, really. This whole church is all about faith. And so, you know, I just want to thank you for giving the way you give. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. Because I want you to think about something for just a moment here. And I'm not going to preach to you. I get to preach in a couple weeks, by the way. Steve's going to be out of town, so bring your lost friends. But anyway, I just want you to think about something, because we believe the impossible.
Amen.
Faith is not realistic to this world. The Bible says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. There are foolishness unto him, neither can they know him, because they're spiritually discerned. We believe the impossible. We believe the creator of this universe became a little baby and was born from a virgin. We believe that he died and rose again from the dead. We believe the impossible. And really, this was an impossible dream at one time. But we're seeing by faith things become possible. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And the more we understand about God, the more we begin to trust Him. And we see faith working out in our life. And even in this building, it's a faith thing. And so I just want to thank you very much. And it's going to be a wonderful time up there. We're going to see a lot of people come to Christ.
Now, I want you to just stop and take a look around at each other real quick. Take a look, okay? Last month we raised over $30,000 among us. Isn't that unbelievable? What a celebration. I felt like, man, we need to have like cake and ice cream or something, because if you remember, the goal was 31. We just, and that's in November, and we just about made it this month. And I just look around, and that's what prompted Clyde to want to say something, because he's exactly right. We look around, and among ourselves, we can't do it. We don't have the money, the economy's not right, all these things, and yet there's 30,000 with the two combined.
We believe the impossible, really. And I want to say something real quick. Look around at each other. He just mentioned that. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? I'm just kidding. I'll stop there before I get in trouble.
All right. Thanks. Next slide. Yeah. Yeah, great. You can take the next slide. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, and I'm just going to have you look at verse 3 while we're talking. I've got it up there, if you could see it a little bit, but you may want your Bibles. Maybe these are going to get smaller and smaller, and you just have to start bringing your Bible. You know, I was thinking this week as I read from 1 through 7, that's the portion we're going to cover, and I began to read 3, and then I began to read some of the other passage, and it really brought me back to October 31st, 1973, on Halloween, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I have come to the conclusion through the Spirit, through just wisdom, through the presence of God in my heart, and maybe it's just the plain out evidence that during the years prior to that, I was a fool. Now, some people might even say that of me now, but you didn't know me then. I was a fool, and for years, I played the fool. I certainly was disobedient. And I did those things that were against what I knew God wanted because I was anti-God and I wanted to do everything I could against Him that was right, moral, and just. And I think about it and I think, in fact, I was deceived by the world and by all that I thought was right at the time for me. And as I look at that, maybe yours is different. Maybe it took on a different bent. But I think most of us can relate to our foolishness and our disobedience and all the things that we've done against what we know is right before we were in Christ. Our life was made up of serving things that we lusted for and following anything that we think would bring pleasure and comfortableness to our life, and we would hope that it would do that. Life was about paying people back from the time we were kids until adults, and the things that they did to us, we responded to. It was about envy, always wanting something we didn't have, but we thought we should have it. It was about hating, and it was about blaming and doing hateful things and hating the people around us. And I have to ask myself this question, and you may too, what was fun about those days? Acting the fool, walking in disobedience, deceiving ourselves into thinking we are on the right path, serving lusts and pleasure, living in paybacks with others, envying what others had, being hateful to people and saying hateful things, and even hating others. You know, about that time, just a few weeks before October 31st, 1973, when this all began to come to a head with me, and I really began to think about what in the world God was in my life, it was a time when I decided I was going to rent a house, and I found a friend who was going to rent with me. And I couldn't afford this house by myself, so I asked him if he'd like to be a roommate, and he said, yeah, that'd be great. Between the two of us, we would be just fine. And so he moved all of his stuff in, and I moved all of us, my stuff in, a few days ahead of signing the lease. And he agreed, and we got together. And so when I went to sign for the house, he didn't show up. And so I thought, okay, it's no big deal. He's running late. So I signed it. I wrote out a check I couldn't even cover at the time. And he didn't show up that day. And finally, I got word that he went, and this was in San Jose. I got word that he went down to Santa Cruz with some friends, and he got to drinking and drugging, and he got onto a sailboat that his friend's dad owned, and he got so drunk he fell asleep, and at the same time, they were going for a two-month cruise, and so they weighed anchor and took off into the Pacific with my roommate in it. Well, Well, he obviously wasn't going to pay for his portion of the rent. And I did not have my Christ in my life at all, understand? So the hate that I felt for this man was enough to see this man dead. He had put me in a position, and I got to the place where I was so angry with him, I hated him. In fact, that very next day, it was a Saturday, I had a garage sale. I took all of his clothes and his bed and everything else, put it in my yard and sold it all and made enough money for the other half of the rent. I'm sorry. And I even looked at, hang on. And I even looked into what it would take to have the guy beat up in a professional way. All right. Hey, I'm telling you. All those responses because he missed a payment? Are you kidding me? But that's how God describes us, not just me. That didn't help, did it? But that's how God describes us before we came spiritually alive, when we asked Christ, his Father, into our heart. When I looked at that low point in my life, I thought, I'm a wretch. Something has to change. How could I be that debased and that screwed up? And that's when I came to Christ and got out of that whole life and began my journey with him. And you might say, well, Steve, I would never believe you could do such a thing. Well, you know what? The Bible says you're just the same way, or you were. It may have looked different. You may have couched it so it looked really pretty on the outside. I didn't ever try to do that in my life. But you might have tried to make it look pretty, sugarcoat it, frosting on it, but inside it was corrupt. In the Bible says you were that way. Now, I can imagine you've found yourself not liking a person, and I say not liking because I'm using our 2007 verbiage for hate, okay? But you're not liking yourself and thinking, I'm not going to make up with them and all these kind of things and acting up. And or it might have been lust in your life that was out of control, or maybe it was disobedience. Or maybe it was continually trying to find pleasure in finding some kind of meaning in life and at the expense of all reason in your life. If you aren't in Titus chapter 3, I'd love you to turn there to verse 1. And I want to read it together because we need to understand, and listen to me on this, we need to understand who we were. Now, I realize that we sometimes have a little disconnect here because some of you were born and raised a Christian, okay? You were birthed into Christianity because you were in a Christian family. And so the difference between you finally come into faith and not come into faith may not be as evident. Like when I talk this way, my wife doesn't understand it because she was birthed into Christianity and she accepted Christ about 4 or 5. And so she, and then at 12, she had a real awakening in her life. So her background didn't demonstrate this as much, even though now in her life she recognizes it was there. But we have to look back to where we came from, because it generates gratitude and it helps rescue us into the life of Christ that we have now, so that we can live like him and we can live for him and we can know who we are now compared to who we were. Now, I want to stop here and just say this, that many of you may feel like you're participating in some of the things I said. And, you know, as Christians, we get kind of numb-headed and silly, right? And we participate back in those things, and we do it for a little bit, and then we think, okay, why are we doing this? It doesn't make sense anymore, and we begin to recover. But some of us go as far as getting addicted to certain things, and it takes a little harder effort to get out. But I think you find yourself in misery, whereas before a Christian, life was miserable, so you couldn't tell. But now we can tell. We have a new life in Christ, and when we dirty up that life, in essence, we feel misery, and we feel like, wait a minute, God's not with me. But you do know Christ. And that's why it's tearing you up, because consequences bring us back to Christ. And we've talked about that earlier. You haven't seen, maybe, the difference, nor understand how debased or corrupt or sinful you might have been if you were born in that Christian family. But you were. The Bible says you were. And God picked you up and wiped you off, and He picked us up and wiped us off with His complete saving grace. And you have to know what He did and what you did in order to know who you are now. So Paul tells us in Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and following, what God desires in you and I, because we are a new creation, we've been made new. And let's start with verse 1. Remind them. Okay, now why does it remind? Because we know. We know what the truth is. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready or prepared for every good work, to speak evil or insult no one, to be peaceful, to be non-fighters, gentle, which means fair in yielding, showing or demonstrating, maybe a better word for these days, demonstrating all humility or humbleness to all men. That's what God wants to see out of you and I. That's who we really are in our heart. So God tells us what to do in order to be who we already are. Now that sounds like devil talk, doesn't it? But it isn't. It's who we already are if we put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If we obey what He's saying, it makes our life live in harmony. If we can stop the evil, stop insulting people and become peacemakers and become fair and have a humble attitude towards people, just as Jesus had a humble attitude when He went to the cross. Then we reflect on who we are. You know, as I thought about this, I thought, I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It was Billy Graham's, I think, favorite verse. And I can remember when he was on TV, he would quote this, and it exactly explains who we are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And God shows us how to act the way we already are. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting thought. Down deep, we are that person. Now we get to the second list, who we were. And this is what I described at the beginning of this message. For we ourselves were, and were here is an imperfect in the Greek, and it means that it happens repeatedly in the past. So we ourselves once were also foolish. We were continually without understanding, because we did not have Christ in life, disobedient, deceiving or being deceived, serving or being controlled by various lusts, various desires and pleasures, living in malice. Now, malice is not a word we use anymore. But malice means planned evil against someone else, and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's who we were. The motivation to act according to the thoughts and works that God has given us is because of where we have come from. And when we stop to think about where we come from, it must have made God and other people a little sick because of our thoughts and actions. And yet, His love shone through during that time, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He rescued us when we were detestable, full of envy, flat out bad, being controlled by lust and pleasure, being totally deceived, being disobedient, and continually playing the fool. We as believers need to remember who we were. We have come out of that life by the supernatural grace of God. And I love that. Spurgeon said this, "No man here has any idea of how bad he really is." Now, isn't that true? Even when I look back and I think about how I was going, I can't remember every day anymore. I can hardly remember any of those days. And so when I look back, I think it stunk. So I must have really been bad. Because Spurgeon's right. We have no idea how bad he really is. He says, "You do not know how good the grace of God can make you, nor how bad you are by nature, nor how bad you might become if that nature were left to itself." We get to verse 4 and it says this, and this is the third list. This is what God did. "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, a rebirth, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs, we should become family, according to the hope of eternal life." Justified by grace. Now, you know, if we go to Romans, it's justified by faith, justified by faith, justified by faith. But here in Titus, it's justified by grace. It's not us. It's Him. It's not what we do that saves us. It's what He did that saves us. We are now a new creation. Now, let me see if I can explain this in a story my wife loves to tell. She might have even told this at one of the ladies' retreats. But having that new creation is just like a young girl who gets a new dress. And she puts the dress on and she looks at her mom and says, "Wow, am I beautiful?" And the mom says, "You are so beautiful." She said, do you mind if I run out and tell my, and show my friends the dress?" And mom says, "Yeah, but be careful. We want to keep it clean." And so she runs out and she finds her friends and they're all playing in the mud. And she says, "Look at my new dress." And they go, "Wow, that's a pretty dress. Do you want to play in the mud?" And she goes, "Well, I can't. My mom didn't want me to play in the mud because I might get the dress all dirty." And so she watches and they just seem to be having so much fun in the mud. Pretty soon she gets down and she gets next to the mud hole and she begins to play with her hands. You know what I'm saying? But not on the dress. And pretty soon one of the girls hits her with a mud ball. And pretty soon she's in the mud hole and she's playing with them. And she's getting all dirty and the dress is totally muddy. And finally she hears her mom call. And she heads home, but she thinks, "Oh, what am I going to tell my mom? My dress is all muddy." And she gets home and her mom looks at her and said, "Wow, your dress is muddy. Take it off and let's wash it." And so she gives the dress to mom and mom washes it and puts it back, and she puts it back on and it's clean and it's still beautiful even though it got dirty. And you know what? That story represents what it's like for us with our new life in Christ. We have been changed, we have become clean, and we get stupid enough to go play in the mud. Because we think somehow, I remember the mud was kind of fun. And we go back there and we play in the mud and we get kind of dirtied up and we go home and Jesus Christ cleanses us. Isn't that true? He cleans us up and He makes us right again because the new dress, the new cleanness is who we really are, not the mud. And we have to decide, Christian, who we want to be. Do we want to be the girl in the mud hole, or do we want to be the girl with the new dress or the guy with new clothes? You know, we forget. We forget who we are in Christ. He has completed us. He's made us His family. He's adopted us. He's forgiven us. He's redeemed us. And we're new. And in deep in our heart, if you think about it deep in your heart, you know that's true if you put your faith and trust in Christ. But we have a tendency to run out and get dirty again. We act like the old guy. The Bible calls it the old man. And He says, we put off that old man and we become the new man. And we walk around as the new man, but we imitate the old man at times. We have to remember who we are, because we have to remember who we were, because that helps us remember who we are. So here's my question for you this morning. Will you remember who you are, and will you remember who you were, so when you are living life, you don't go back to who you were? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I really thank You so much for this portion of Scripture where Paul talks through the Holy Spirit to Titus. It just puts together a group of seven verses that knock us out. Lord, what You did for us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And Lord, we come because it has nothing to do with us. It only has to do with us remembering who we are. We're the sons and daughters of the King. We don't have to get into the mud anymore. And Lord, I just pray that we will begin to stop playing in the mud and stand up and be Jesus Christ to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.